Hello, I'm Bill DeYoung, and welcome once again to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. I saw a wonderful play last week at American Stage. It is called Fat Ham by James Iams, and it is absolutely wonderful. I'm so thrilled to have two of the actors from this wonderful ensemble here with me today at Arts Alive. Diamani Brewington, hello, sir.
Hi, hello.
And our old friend Andresia Mosley. I don't think you've done this podcast before.
I haven't done this particular one, but hey, guys.
Okay, hey, yeah. Andresia, of course, is from Tampa.
Yes,
and we've seen her. This is your, do you mind? This is your first time here.
Yes, it is.
Okay, are you enjoying yourself? A little hot.
A little hot, but also DC's hot. Vegas is hot where I'm from, and so I love it.
You're from Vegas?
I am.
Wow. Yeah. I never understood how people could actually be from Vegas. Because it took me a while to realize it's not just that strip.
No.
How do people think that's all there is? How do people live there? There's a whole, I know it's dumb, right? But I mean, there's a whole city.
Well,
there.
All the workers have to live somewhere.
That makes the point. See, that's what it's turning into here. You know, all the rich people live on the beach, and all the rest of us who work for the rich people can't live there.
Right.
You know, so, hey, listen, folks, if you don't know, Fat Ham is a brilliant adaptation of Shakespeare's Hamlet. And there's a lot of things I want to talk about with regard to the structure of the play, which is just so brilliant. What I wanted to say, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. I told Andresia the other day, I think this might be the best play I've ever seen on American stage because it pushed all the buttons. It absolutely did. It hit just the right combination of drama and pathos and humor. It didn't get too funny to where there was some kind of like George Jefferson thing going on, although Rev got really close on purpose, by the way.
Right.
But it's just like right when, you know, when I'd be so moved and then somebody would say something hysterically funny. I think what I want to say, my praise is ending here. It's not ending, but I mean, I'm going to tone it down, is that it worked on every level for me as an audience member. I really felt involved, and I really felt like I'd been on a journey to the end, towards the end. You play Juicy, who is a central character. You are essentially Hamlet,
yeah,
going through all sorts of things. How do you approach this? I mean, do you watch other people doing this role and say, I can do that, or do you apply? I mean, how different are you from other people who've done this?
I can't say for sure because I did avoid other, you know, I've seen clips of the Broadway production, but I've never seen it more than like 3 minutes of any other production. For me, like when I'm encountering a script, I pay attention to what it's making me feel and like my response to it. And so I think, be it that me as a person and Juicy, we have a lot of similarities and there's places in my body where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling the truth of this. That's kind of where the life of the character kind of started in collaboration with the director and like the cast.
I did speak with Raymond and I thought he was brilliant too. And I actually wrote to him on Facebook and said, this was great.
Yeah,
you know, so, in preparation though, when you first arrive at that script. I mean, can you see it all laid out in your mind? This is how I'm going to do it. Because Juicy, as portrayed by you, is this great, as we said, combination of different things. He's very sensitive and he's, you know, he's going through all this stuff with his family. He's also kind of a hard ass when he needs to be and he's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, can you see that? Or how much does the direction and working, putting it on its feet, change the way you're going to do that?
Oh, I think I always am excited for the context that comes with not only just the lines I'm memorizing and, you know, what my thoughts are with the character is, but like with other people. This show has such a game element to it. Like there's a tossing back and forth of like, you know, idea and meaning. And it made me realize the big task of how Juicy holds the world and like in that game of comedy. Like he's the first one who's teaching this, like, we're going to laugh about this and I'm also going to subvert you with some very deep truth. And I'm also going to like break the world. I'm going to put it back together and break the world. And everyone else comes in and does the same thing. And so that, I don't think I could have ever anticipated that because part of doing that is being in the moment with everyone. But when I read the script before, I didn't really like the script.
Really? Okay.
Like years ago, I have read it because they were casting for it other places and I didn't really understand it and I didn't understand what the game was. I didn't understand, like, I knew it was being advertised, like, oh, this is an adaptation of Hamlet, but mm-hmm. I didn't understand in what way, and so I was disconnected from it. And then, you know, I'm auditioning, I get this part, I'm rereading it in preparation for this, and, like, I feel it all. So I'm reading everything, and I'm like, whoo, these are, yeah. First of all, half, I would say 70% of what Juicy says, I say in my own life. Like, his perspective, okay. His point of view, his sensuality, his humor. I'm like, oh, Raymond was plotting.
So it is you. And you knew Raymond from Howard, right?
Yeah.
He told me that he was one of your teachers up there.
Yeah. And so I think he knew that it would be a good part for me. And then when auditioning for it and rediscovering this, I'm like, oh, this is close to home, but also... what makes the script so great is that outside of how similar it is to me, there is a layers of understanding on what the audience needs to understand about his experience that mm-hmm. like is so bold and brave and courageous sure. and at times violent that is past my understanding. And that's kind of what I had to take in and buckle up with in doing the show.
Well, talking about past your understanding, I mean, I'm not a Shakespearean person. Unlike our friend David Jenkins and Giles and those people who know it all backwards and forwards, mm-hmm. I come in and go, oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Would this have worked had you taken the Hamlet framework out of it? I think it would have, frankly.
But yeah, I think
the references and the sly and the characters, mm-hmm. that I got. But I also thought that this is so cool, this story is so cool, that maybe we didn't need that. When I hear people say, it's an adaptation of Hamlet, you know, to me that's a loose reference to what it is. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, could you take that out?
Absolutely. I think to do the show, to make it what it is, does not require that at all. Mm-hmm. But, and at the same time, I feel like every time I think about the show and what James has like nodded to in terms of how much it does like parallel and like not even in a plot wise narrative way, but in like a Hamlet asks you to think about this. This is the way I want you to think about this in this context with these black people at this barbecue. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of. Because it's the
there it is. There's the rub right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But that was a great moment, by the way. I get that totally. What he just said about a game, it just struck me because there are those moments during the karaoke segment and when everyone dances, which we don't want to really give away too much, but it just felt like we're suddenly all the same. You know, right. I love that. And was that the point of that?
I think it is.
Did I get it?
Yeah, I think, so it's open to your interpretation, right? So that's what makes it great. I think they're all, Raymond says something very important, and it's not something that I've heard from a director before, about this constant buying and selling aspect that is happening throughout the play. Mm. And there's a lot of ways to look at scenes, right? How you analyze it and break it down. But I thought at its simplest core, us all realizing scene by scene, someone's selling something and someone's buying. And so I think during, which we won't give too much away, that particular scene, Juicy's selling... But we weren't buying, and so gradually you see just these slight dynamics of power happening as to...
You're talking about the karaoke scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the play overall in general.
Yeah.
If you really look at it in that great framework that Raymond put it in for me, this idea of these scene by scene, somebody's selling something and somebody's buying it and having that be a part of the drive, even at the funny... You know, who's trying to win and influence everybody? Yeah. Because the play is about everybody.
Can I just say this totally out of context for anybody who maybe have seen this play? And if you haven't yet, this won't mean anything to you. When Pap came out of the refrigerator, I fell on the floor. I'm sorry. We'll just leave it there. Just leave it there, folks. I'm back to you. When your mother, when Tedra does her karaoke song, what song is that?
What, Deborah Cox, how did you get here?
How did you get here?
And then Juicy comes out with, and I guess it's
Creep.
Radiohead, I thought the Radiohead song. That's what the juxtaposition there. But again, Andresia, when you all started to react to it,
right?
You know, I just thought I'm in another place here. This was just too good.
Yeah.
You know, and I did want to say while we're on the subject of dancing that Miss Shanae, who is it, Jay? She's the best dancer out of the bunch of you. Okay.
Okay.
Period.
Accepted. Because I made a mental note to say that today.
Noted.
You guys get along with the cast? I mean, you have to be pretty intimate with these people, I would think.
Yeah. The family dynamic of the story, period, right? So
exactly.
I think the relatability outside of Hamlet for those within culture and watching from the outside is, this is just another family doing a thing.
Yeah.
Or trying to do a thing or understand the quote-unquote weird kid of the family.
Yeah.
You know, Where does he fit? How does he fit? Not that he doesn't fit. So at no point do we tell Juicy we don't accept you.
No, his mother's very accepting.
Like, right. Yeah, so we've got the mama's boy motif guy. Yeah. We've got, you know, Ravi and the religious perspective on it all.
You were cracking me up. Thank you.
Thanks. And then you've got kind of that best friend that always pulls you back to the truth and very plainly says things. You have that in Opal, the constant challenge.
Yeah.
And then you have Larry, which I won't give away. But it's really just at its core, just a great, funny family.
And except for the funny part, the bones of Hamlet are all in there,
correct,
too. You know, it's built on the bones, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I saw you, I would say, within the last, it's probably been a little more than a year, but I saw you in POTUS at Job Site. Yeah. I saw you in Hollywood Dreams, which we absolutely loved.
Yeah, I thought, you were in POTUS in Hollywood Dreams?
Yeah.
I would pay money to see that.
Hey, there you go.
It was a
I'll send you
time.
Some photos. I still have the photos.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a great time. Yeah, it was a
love
good
her.
Time. Yeah.
I imagine you live in D.C.?
D.C., yes.
Okay, so you're a professional actor. You travel, yes. And you're also a professional. Do you move around, Andresia, as well?
I do, yeah.
Because I see you here a lot.
Yeah. Well, I've been here a lot lately.
Yeah.
I would say that probably in the last 2 to 3 years. But in between those times, you know, I do regional tours. So I kind of leave town for a while, do a tour, come back home, do a show, and kind of move. I move in that way, yeah, depending on what's going on with the work.
This is that whole thing where you can live wherever you want when you're an actor and you know, you could still be in Las Vegas. I don't know why you'd want to, but
no comment.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave that one there too. So I don't know. What's next for you? I mean, every time I go to a show, when I know that Andresia's in the cast, I go, okay, this is going to be good.
Oh, wow.
You know,
thank you.
I really do. I thought Hollywood Dreams was real cool. Yeah, and it's not the greatest dramatic story in the world, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
And you were, she was wearing like a dashiki and the whole thing.
I had a lot of things on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She was the TV host. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had a good time there. I do want to mention that for record, this is only my second time with a production with American.
Really?
So I understudied for Color Museum, but this is my first time on their stage in a show working with the venue since I've been here. And it's been fun.
How long have you been
here?
I
did want to say that. A long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
More. Well, not as long as you, I think. But I've been here. I've been
hey,
here
you call
a,
me old.
A little bit. Who you calling old? That's one of the lines. But I've been here like 10 years or more, a little over 10. And so, this is my first time with American.
Well, is it a fun experience? We have a rep from American Stage standing in the corner of the studio. So we have to say it's just all peaches and roses. You know?
No, it really has been fun. For a first show, I would think this was ideal for me. And you are also used to seeing me in extremely dramatic, heart-wrenching type deals.
Yeah.
The last 2 to 3 years, it's really funny. People think I'm funny.
That L.A. thing.
It's funny that I'm funny.
Did you not think you were funny before
this?
I
would never have auditioned for a comedy prior to two years ago.
I think the thing with Fat Ham, you just touched on something, is that it is, as we said, full of pathos and drama. But it's also, I want to emphasize this, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And here's a measure of how good it was. Okay, I'm going to do one more of these. And then, again, I'll stop. Is that whoever it was came out and said, or the voice of God said, it's an hour and 45 minutes with no intermission. And is that you?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you said that. The inner old man in me groaned a little bit. Oh, God. It was over in no time. I never had to go to the bathroom. I never got bored. I never got, distracted or like, oh, man, I wish there was an intermission. That's how good it was. And that is, to you and your fellow cast members, everybody's unbelievably great. Cool. Before I forget, you also, what did you co-direct When the Righteous Triumph?
I did, okay. Yeah. So
how do you co-direct?
Well, very carefully. I just helped with making sure that the production maintained what it was supposed to maintain.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of advising and working one-on-one with the actors in character and just a lot of advising on the pieces and overall. Making sure we stayed on,
Oh, of course. Did you see the first production?
I also co-directed that one.
You did? Okay. How did you tweak it for the second time? What did you do?
Well, I mean, we had a bigger space in the Jabe, and I won't belabor. We had a bigger space in the Jabe. We had different actors in the Jabe. And each actor, when they take on the same role, bring a different intentionality.
Of course.
So it was slightly different in the sense we had different folks and different venue. And yeah. Still very, very good production.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what is next for you? Can you say?
I don't know. I think I can. I think it's listed. But I'm going to be doing, knock on wood, hopefully, Cadillac Crew. Which is another really nice play about some black women who took a drive during the civil rights movement. Yeah.
Who's doing that?
It's a collaboration between 620 and Power Stories.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, 620 is really one thing that Erica's doing that I think is so brilliant is amping up the theatrical component.
Yeah.
And that's, for my money, that's been kind of missing a little bit in the last couple of years, and I'm really glad to see that. What about you, my friend? Once this is over, which is June 22nd, where are you going? What are you doing?
I come back to D.C., uh-huh. And I'm doing a cabaret with a theater in Arlington, Signature Theater. We're doing a yacht rock cabaret. And so,
Christopher Cross.
Truly, it's called Sailing.
Yeah, Christopher Cross. Got it.
I'll be doing that for like July and August, and then we'll see.
We'll see. Last question. I'm going to ask each of you this. This has been really well received. This show and I think it's going to go gangbusters until it closes way down there in the 22nd. Does that surprise you? That you put your hearts and souls into these things, and sometimes the audiences don't come. Sometimes the audiences are like ho hum or whatever. Does that please you? I think the audience that I saw it with couldn't stand up fast enough at the last moment.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
they the audience is who we do it for. So having the responses, hearing the laughs. I said to another castmate, I said, I feel like some of the nights they want to be on stage.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing particular parts that they're mimicking things that we're doing. That lets me know, wow, they're like super involved.
So, I told you, I wanted to come up and get some of those ribs.
Yeah, yeah. And the ribs are good. I mean, I don't know where they're from, but they're good.
The bone, okay.
Yeah. But for me, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's lovely that it's so clear. We get to the end, and we not only have we worked hard to build this journey, but like, y'all love it and receive it and have felt it, and we get to celebrate that. So I think that's just it's cool that it's that successful.
Well, it was a lot of fun to celebrate it with you, and that ending, which we aren't giving away, is very celebratory. And suddenly everything just fell. I was waiting for confetti and balloons from this ceiling. Okay, Giamonte Brewington and Andresia Mosley, we have finished. This has been a beautiful conversation. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Phil. Good time.
It's great to see you guys. Broken legs all around. What? Say something else.
Oh.
Okay. I was improvising there.
Oh, okay. Gosh, forgot my script. What did Bill. I didn't know my lines.
Broken legs to everybody, seriously. And, continued great success.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Pleasure
much.
To meet you.
Yeah.